Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 16, maybe down to 25, or we may skip in between and just go straight to 25. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And as we go ahead and read the word, I would just like those of you that can to stand as we read the word. Just stand with me as we read the word. Praise the Lord. You might as well, you know, just be with me for a little bit. Amen. The word we're going to read, verse 16, says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit." Somebody say, "Walk in the Spirit." "And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts, or is contrary, or wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led," somebody say led. "If you are led by the Spirit, guided on the Spirit, under the instruction of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Hallelujah. "Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And verse 25 reads like this. It says, "If we live in the Spirit," somebody say, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's read that again. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Or some versions may say, "If we live by the Spirit," or "If we live because of the Spirit, let us also follow or walk under the Spirit." Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the matchless, a wonderful, a marvelous, awesome, beautiful name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we present ourselves before you, and we just thank you for the grace that's upon our lives here today, upon every soul here today. We bless you and we thank you. And as we are gathered around your most precious word, Heavenly Father, your word that is from heaven to us, your love letter to us, Heavenly Father, we pray by the Spirit of the living God, Lord, that you would minister, Heavenly Father, that you would just use me as a vessel to communicate, Heavenly Father, the things which you've placed in my heart. And we thank you that each and everyone here has an anointing, Heavenly Father, that no man should teach them, Father God, for you by your Spirit, Heavenly Father, will open hearts, open minds, Heavenly Father, and confirm the very things which you speak, Heavenly Father, to their lives. And we thank you, Lord, for the anointing in this place, the anointing that breaks yokes, Heavenly Father, that breaks the yokes and sets captives free. We thank you for the anointing, Heavenly Father, that opens the eyes of the blind. We thank you for the anointing here right now that sets at liberty those that are captive. We thank you for the anointing here right now that binds up the brokenhearted, Father. We thank you for our anointing that declares, Lord, my God, that this is their time, the acceptable year of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing that unstops the ears of the deaf, that loosens the tongue of the mute, Heavenly Father. We thank you for that anointing right now in this place, Father God, that is raised up a generation, laying the Lord, and bringing many to salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray. We thank you for all that takes place here right now, Lord. We pray for, my God, for divine inspiration. Speak to every soul, every man, woman, and child, and myself included, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, "Amen." Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And before you, praise God. I want you to just turn to two or three people and tell them, "Amen, you have to be led by the Spirit." Amen. And the Spirit says you can sit down until you feel like standing up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue with the theme, amen, which we are running with, which is our main or core theme for the year of 2018, is taking territory compelled by the love of God. Amen. If you're going to do anything, amen, let's do it because of God's love, that his love has impacted us. Remember, the scripture says that those who have been forgiven much loves much. Are you hearing me? Paul says that the love of God compels him to do and live the life that he has been living. Praise God. Amen. So we want to be compelled by love, not by fear. Amen. We don't want to, even when you give, hallelujah, the Lord says, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, not someone who's giving grudgingly and I'm going to give, they're making me give. How many people know he wants us to be able to give of ourselves, give of our time, give of our finances, give of our love, because we have been impacted by his love. Even repentance showed the source or the inspiration to turn towards God is because we have been convicted and convinced of his love and his salvation and his truth towards you and I. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Tell your neighbor, I love the Lord, but I know he loves me more. Amen. Praise. I always like to start with his love. His love. Because you can't love until you, anyway. You can't love God until he what? Loves you. Praise the Lord. And as a ministry also, Destiny City Church, we have a vision, we have a statement of faith, we have beliefs, we have core values, and we have values. So what we've been doing in the early part of this year, we've been preaching and also following up in our life groups. How many people are part of a life group? Can I just share a show of hands? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage everyone to join a life group. We have life groups on Wednesdays and on Fridays. And what we've been following up, what God is saying to us on a Sunday in our life groups, and so that's further establishing. So we've been going through some foundational values and principles, and our vision and statements of belief and such. And what we're on today is being led by the Spirit. One of our values, one of our principles, one of our philosophy or doctrine, something that is taught in the Bible, is that God's people should be led by the Spirit. Amen. That's something we hold dear to, a value or principle or anything like that. Is a philosophy or a doctrine that we say this is important to us, and the values then become our guide, or the thing which governs or oversees our conduct, our attitudes, our behavior, and our responses. How many people know we need values? Praise God. God bless all two of you. I said, how many people know we need values? Amen. Now, values govern us. And sometimes some of us in certain areas of our lives, and I say amen for myself here, amen. I used to lack values and may lack a value here. How many people know we need to then adopt and learn right values which govern our conduct and our behavior? So the value that I'm going to preach on today, and maybe next week if the Lord leads so, is being led by the Spirit. Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus said, when Peter said to Jesus, he said, listen, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Amen. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, you know what? You know what? This has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven, you caught this in the Spirit. And upon this revelation, amen, because of this revelation, he said, I will give you the keys. Somebody say the keys. Or say, and the key could be the principles. The kingdom principles, the kingdom values, are you hearing me? And upon these, amen, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. As I am able to sow and weave and implement within you the kingdom principles, kingdom values, and even the kingdom, the culture of the things, how to think, how to act, how to behave, how to respond, amen. These are what are going to build you so that the gates of hell, that no devil, hallelujah, come on somebody, no devil, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You will go from strength to strength, faith to faith, and glory to glory. Somebody say, I want some godly values. Amen. All right. Now, so the Bible says that we ought to live by, walk by, or be led by the Spirit. So when you hear that term, what that term actually means, to be led by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, it actually means that we as Christians, as God's people, God's children, that we ought to live under the instruction, the offering, the leading, and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Our steps should be inspired, come on somebody, by God. The Word of God says that the steps of a good man or a righteous man. Hallelujah. And if we're going to be so politically correct as they are in these times, the steps of a righteous woman, amen, are ordered, instructed, and guided by the Lord. Hallelujah. So that means we need to be led by the Spirit, led by God. And there is another influence that we could be led by or influenced by or moved by, and that is the flesh. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, remember that last verse we just read, says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, if we're not careful there, it could almost look like it's saying the same thing, but it's not saying the same thing. That part where it says if we live in the Spirit, it translates as if we live by the Spirit, if we've been made alive by the Spirit, if we've been born again by the Spirit. Come on, somebody. If we are God's children by the Spirit, if we operate and live in the realm of the Spirit, the divine Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then we also ought to walk under his instruction. Romans 8 verse 9 says this. It says, which helps to qualify this verse. It says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Somebody say, I'm in the realm of the Spirit and not the flesh. When you belong to God, when you belong to Jesus Christ, when you've been born again, you are no longer in the realm. You're no longer attached. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer of the fallen nature of humanity. You have become, as Paul says, he says, you've become a citizen of heaven. You have a divine connection to God and to heaven. You're in the Spirit. You're a spiritual person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that you are what? A new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. You might not feel like it. You might not even sometimes behave like it, but truth is truth. Are you hearing me? Amen. And may the truth set you free indeed. Amen. It says you are, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. You're no longer in the realm of the flesh. Are you hearing me? That's freeing. That's freeing. You are no longer in the realm of the Spirit. And that's what I believe it's saying there, what the Word of God says in Galatians 25. It says that, listen, if you're no longer in the realm of the flesh, but you've now are born again, if we've been born again by, I mean, we've been born again by the Spirit of God. We've been born again by, oh Lord, somebody say amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to try and stay on track here because we're going to look at some other things next week when it comes to being led by the Spirit. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, it says, and he made who alive? Made you alive. Amen. And he made alive who? What were we like? It says we were dead in our what? Yeah, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. In it, it's like having someone here, right? And they're just dead, laying down on their back dead, and how many people know a dead man can't get up? A dead man can't move. Just dead, right? Now, what Scripture teaches us is that we were dead in us, but we was walking around dead. You seen all these duppy movies and zombie apocalypse and what's the other one? Adam, you know. You know, see all these movies and people walking around and they're dead, doing all kind of stuff, eating people's brains, all right? And you shoot them and they don't die unless you break the spine or shooting the brain, something like that. All right, dead, all right? That's what my kids told me when they watched it anyway. So we were walking around and living as dead people. And dead people don't make choices. Because dead people are what? Dead. They just operate dead. Are you hearing me? So the Word of God tells us that we were dead in our sins and transgressions. We were on our back, in a box dead. We were a walking around type of dead thing. And then the Bible says that the Spirit, now this is important because to lay a foundation for what I believe the Spirit wants to go. And the Bible says that it was God, it was the Holy Spirit who caused you and I to become alive. Because you know when someone's dead on the floor, they're dead. And if there's any chance of bringing that person back, what are they going to need? Some CPR, breath of life, some Zoe, some electric, yeah? Some breath breathed into them. Are you hearing me? Somebody say Ruach. Somebody say Pneuma. That means spirit, all right? And God created man, and God blessed them, and God breathed a breath of life in them and made man a Zoe, a living being. Are you hearing me? Amen. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit, breath, wind. So when someone's dead, and the only way to even try and get that person back, are you hearing me, is to do something with their heart, get their heart moving, and put breath in them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody say heart and breath. Heart and breath. And I hear the Holy Spirit tell me right now that in Ezekiel, the word of God says that God will give us a what? A new heart and put his spirit in us. Are you hearing me? So we were dead. And the Holy Spirit, you didn't go looking for God. You didn't even think about God. Oh, yes. Oh, no, you didn't. You were dead. Dead people don't look for God. Are you hearing me? They are inanimate. Listen, dead people don't think about God. Dead people don't even care. Somebody say, when I was dead, I didn't care. You ever notice how now you feel bad about things, but you never felt bad about things before? You know why you didn't feel bad about things before? Because you didn't care. You was dead. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing this? So how we get saved is that we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, just doing our thing. Are you hearing me? And the Spirit of God comes, and he begins to work on us. Amen. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, I believe it says. It says that in these last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, all nations. Now, you might think that means church people, but that's not what it says. It says upon all people, I will pour out my spirit. All people, not just, listen, I've seen more anointed unsaved people sometimes. Come on, somebody. Then you get people in church. What God is, he says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Amen. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Amen. Even your maid servants are going to become under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? Of the Spirit of God. We're going, so this is much needed. So what the Word of God is telling us is that you don't have to be saved, amen, to be influenced by the Spirit of God. Amen. People unsaved can prophesy. People unsaved can speak truth by the Spirit of God. People unsaved can be moved, come on somebody, by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit. Are you hearing me? Amen. Unsaved. Are you hearing me? Otherwise, you and I wouldn't have got saved. It takes the work of the Holy Ghost on your life. Amen. So, and about Ephesians, it says, by grace, you've been saved. And not of works. Say, never work, no works. I didn't work this out. It was grace. I didn't think about getting saved. I didn't think it's about time I got right with God. Come on, somebody. I didn't think about that. You know what? It is the fact that you're able to, even anyone is able to consider whether there is a divine being in heaven, a maker of heaven and earth, is because of God's grace. People do not choose to and so, you know how some of us used to say, you know what? I'm just going to wait until I get to my deathbed, then I'm going to repent. Amen. Like it's our choice. Amen. That we're in control of when we choose to think about God or get right with God or come with God. Amen. Repentance, the Bible says, is a gift. The fact that you could even think about wanting to get right with God is something that God's gave you a gift. And so this is a gift to you. And even though it's not always there. It's not, but we thank God for the gift of repentance, the gift that we're able to, at some point in our lives, to want to change our mind. Because imagine if you couldn't change your minds and we got stuck with some of the decisions we had made in life. Amen. I mean, seriously, you just got into something and then that's it. You can't, it will never ever enter into your mind that you can make some changes and get rid of, anyway, hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about, amen. So the Word of God says that he made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, which you once walked according to the course of this world. So are we agreed that it's the Spirit of God who went to work on us? Amen. John chapter 1, verses 12. And I need to I want to be obedient to God. Amen. I don't want to just go off and go where I want to go. Hallelujah. I'm trying to, it's like getting the lesson. You're preaching the word of God and God's testing you on it straight away. All right. John 1 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, they didn't come by the flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. So here it says that people become born again, not because they willed it, but because God willed it. And it wasn't a move of the flesh, it wasn't a move of man, it was a move of God's spirit. Amen. Somebody say God's spirit. God's spirit, amen, comes with power. God himself, God the Spirit, comes with power. Comes with efficacy, power. The ability to produce a desired or intended result. When God wants to get something done, Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says this. It says, not by might, nor by power, but by my what? That's how God gets things done. By his spirit. It is the spirit of God which ignites humanity to awareness, to what's going on, amen, and to salvation. So somebody says it's the spirit of God. It's not might, it's not might, it's not power, it is the spirit of God. Hallelujah. The spirit of God. So God moves in our lives and we get saved, and people know before we got saved, the Bible calls we were like what, sinners. Amen. And we walked in the flesh. We've seen that. We walked in the flesh, or the fallen nature. Somebody say the fallen nature. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 7. He says nothing good dwells in the flesh. Nothing good. How many people know when we were unsaved, amen, we felt like we had a few good attributes about us. But let me know, the Bible says nothing good dwells in the flesh. Wicked, you was wicked. Evil, you was evil. Bad mind, backbiting, nasty, stingy, horrible, murderous, adulterous, whatever. Amen. That's us in the flesh. You might not like it. Well, I used to do this and give nothing good dwells. Remember, one of our values is the word of God trumps everything. Amen. So no matter what you might think or what I might think, if the word of God says something, that trumps everything. Amen. And if you've got problems with that, take it up with God. Don't take it up with me. Don't get mad at me and be crossing your hands and your feet now. All right. Amen. The word of God, Bible says nothing good dwells. Oh, Lord have mercy. You mean nothing good about me? Not even one redeeming quality? No. Nothing. You got nothing to boast about. Nothing to I won't use that brag word. Brag about. Nothing at all. Nothing good, yeah. Not even your name. Thank you, Bobby. Yeah? Nothing good. Listen, man, because the flesh is fallen, was fallen. When we were sinners, we were fallen. And that was our nature. Psalms 51 says, verse 5, he says, behold, I was brought forth, I was birthed into iniquity. Iniquity means twistedness. Crooked, you was crooked, twisted, twisted, warped, perverse, pervert. Oh yeah, that's what it means, perverse. Yeah, and in sin, my mother conceived me. Now some think that means that, well, my mom and dad weren't married when they... No, it just means the state of play. Amen. In other words, you and I weren't brought forth. Some people believe that children are born, that people are born sinless and pure and holy. But the word of God says different. Amen. The word of God says everyone's born fallen, with a fallen nature, in the realm. In other words, they live and operate in the realm of the flesh. Are you hearing me? So everything you ever do while in the realm of the flesh is not, it's what, even the good that you do is coming from a bad place. Are you hearing me? Amen? Amen? Paul says in 7:14, he says, the good that I will to do, I do not do, and that which I wish not to do, that I do. He says, oh my gosh, who shall deliver me? I'm a perverse. I'm warped. Come on, somebody. I'm duplicit. Who shall deliver me? Says Jesus will deliver me from this body. Amen. So somebody say fallen nature. Now, when we're in the flesh, there's a story, some of you might have heard it, about the frog and the scorpion. All right, I kind of know how it goes, but let me attempt it. So there's this flood going on, okay? And let's say the frog is the spirit and the scorpion is the flesh. All right, and they're both together, and they get trapped on this little rock somewhere, and there's a flood going on, and the frog said, "Boy," the spirit said, "You know what? I'll move. I'm going from here over there where it's safe, and everything's all right." And the flesh is right there next to him, and so the scorpion says, "Listen, you know I can't swim. Take me with you. Take me with you." And the frog goes, "Uh-uh, because if you're gonna sting me," and the scorpion's going, "Now listen, if I sting you, right, I'm going to drown. I won't be so stupid, will I? Come on, somebody." All right? So the scorpion said, "Listen," and the frog goes, He starts to compute things and say, "Yeah, that makes sense, you know. You need saving, and you're a scorpion, and you got this killer sting on you, you know, and if you sting me, you're going to drown anyway. So the frog goes, "Come on, scorpion, jump on my back," right? So then the frog, who we'll call the spirit, not the Holy Spirit, that's like us being in spirit, yeah? All right? So the frog then jumps in the water, and the scorpion's on his back. So the frog's swimming across now, and he's got the scorpion there on his back, and right in the middle of the river, you know what that naughty scorpion done? I mean the flesh done? Ting! Sting him. And then the frog starts. "What'd you do that for? Now we're both going to drown." And then the scorpion says, "I couldn't help it. It's just my nature." Are you hearing me? He can't help it. Sinners sin. Amen? We just do bad when we were sinners. Amen? Couldn't help it. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. What the frog should have done is just stayed in the spirit. Not even indulge or even listen to the flesh. Are you hearing me? It's like when Peter was in that boat, yeah, and rowing with everyone, and then Jesus came to him, or say the spirit came to him, and Jesus came to him, he says, "Is that you? You ever had times in your life when you felt like, is that God speaking to me? And or is it just me?" Amen. And he said, he kind of like tested the spirit. How many know you need to test what you hear and what you sense sometimes? And he says, "Lord, is that you bid me to come?" And he says, and then the spirit, Jesus said back to him, "It is I, come." So then he steps out of the boat. He's in the spirit now. And he steps out of the boat and he begins to walk on water. How many know when you're moving in the spirit, you can do some things. You can do things and accomplish things and go places that ever people, amen, under normal situations or conditions will never, ever be able to accomplish. Are you hearing me? Can somebody say amen? That's what you call being led by the Spirit. Now he's walking under the direct instruction, amen, of a spirit of divine spiritual influence. But then the Bible tells us this: a storm arose. We'll call that the flesh. And starts to like distract him. And then he begins to sink because he took his eyes and his ears, amen, from what he was hearing by the Spirit. What am I trying to say then? What I believe God is trying to tell us is that the flesh will always try to undermine a move of the Spirit in your life because they war against each other. They are contrary to each other. The spirit will want to go this way, and the flesh will say, we're trying to, you know, if you're trying to walk, you ever try to walk somewhere and someone try to trip you up? Yeah, yeah, that's what the flesh does. You're trying to just do your God thing, and then the flesh go, try to trip you up. Hallelujah. Do I need to do? Praise the Lord. Somebody wants to play the flesh? Amen. So hallelujah. So some will say too also, okay, well God will, if you ever got, I'm going to say, you ever got saved? Let me see. You ever been, no. You know when you're saved, right? You think everything's going to be all right. Yeah? You ever been saved and didn't feel saved? Yeah? All right? And you feel like, and you, I thought I was over this. Why is this still, why do I still get this little war? And you ever, ever got to a place where you just wonder, you think like you ain't saved, but you're saved? And you just want, and sometimes the devil starts lying to you now. Amen. Because you ain't got enough Bible in you. Yes, when he starts convincing you that you're no good. Amen. Look at you. Look how you think. Look how you act. Look how you respond. And look what you done last summer as well as last night. Come on, somebody. Say amen. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah? Because I used to think, man, well, why? Why? I'm supposed to be saved. And the Bible says the old man is dead. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Says that old man, that old you is dead. I'm a new creation. He's dead. He said, if you are Christ, then that old you died with Christ too. And if Christ died, the old you died. And if Christ resurrected, the Bible teaches this in Romans 6, that if Christ resurrected, then a new you resurrected in newness of life too. So what's up with that, God? And then I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, well, the old man, how many sisters had a stalker? You know, a boyfriend you try to get rid of. how many brothers had a stalker? Come on, brothers. Let me, hey. Amen. They just hang around. Amen. Tracking you on your Facebook, on your Twitter, on your Instagram, phoning you up. Amen. Bothering you. And the thing about the flesh, then it knows you good. Amen. It knows what kind of chocolate you like, what kind of flowers you like. The flesh, if anybody knows you good, amen, it's your flesh. Flesh knows how to seduce you, baby. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. Flesh know what kind of music to put on. Amen. How to dim the lights. Come on, somebody. The flesh knows how to get to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. So the Bible says, listen, you are a new creation. You no longer live in the realm of the flesh. That's not who you are anymore. But there is a war. Yeah? There is a war. There is a real war. Your flesh. I think Jesus said it like this when he said, "Let's go and pray. Let's go and do something." Because the Spirit said it's time to pray. Time to get to church on time. Mm. Hallelujah. Time to praise the Lord and not be checking your football scores. And Jesus says, "Come, pray with me for an hour. Pray with me." And he come back and he went and prayed. He came back and found Peter and all the disciples what? In the flesh, sleeping, because they weren't doing what the Spirit told them to do. And he made this statement. He said, "The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." You and I will say, "The Spirit weak, the flesh strong." Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? But what are you saying when it comes, amen, to doing, to following and walking in the path God wants you and I to live? The spirit, the flesh is weak. The flesh don't want to know about God. The flesh is the enemy of God. Amen. Listen, the flesh will never encourage you to praise God or put God first. All the flesh wants to do, amen, is that when you're in the middle of your walk, it sting you and trip you up so you don't make it to where you need to get to. That's what the flesh is. That's the flesh's is sole purpose right now, is to be at war and to be contrary and to be against the move of God, but against you being obedient and walking under the direct instructions of the Holy Ghost. The flesh is there, amen, to war and cause you to start to sink. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? But the Spirit's willing. But you're a spiritual person. And if you're a spiritual person, how many people know when we were just flesh people? Well, we were just flesh. We were dead. But if we're new creations, we need to be fueling ourselves then. Bible says, "Pray lest you enter into what? Temptation." So if prayer and being in the presence of God and reading the Word of God and putting it in place in your life. Spiritual disciplines is like refueling yourself. Many times Jesus would retreat. Somebody say retreat. Don't let me start talking about that prayer retreat. But anyway, praise the Lord. Yeah? Somebody say retreat. Yeah, many times Jesus would retreat. Why? To refuel, man. Not even to refuel, amen, to stay topped up. Because he wasn't the type of person that will keep going till he's empty. Amen. Jesus would operate and live life. Somebody say live life. Amen. And optimize his spiritual influence. Amen. He just didn't go back to get topped up. Amen. Because life is not worth living if you're empty of the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to live a Christian, effective, influential Christian life. Amen. Retreats and times of prayer, they're not, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're empty, then you need to top up. But then top up your top up. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Amen. So as spiritual people, we need to make sure that we're filled with the Spirit. Somebody say filled with the Spirit. We are optimized, man. We're optimized. Otherwise, man, if you keep watching, if you don't keep spiritual disciplines and protect and guard what goes into your heart and your life and such, what happens? You end up feeding the old man. You end up feeding the old man. Amen. And you know he don't play. He sting you right. He don't play. The flesh will take you down with it. He don't care. He goes, as long as I bring you down, ain't. Are you hearing me? All right. Praise the Lord. I've got three quick points or concepts that are to do with being led by the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Amen. Being led by the Spirit, he is a sanctifier. He wants to clean up some things in our lives. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, when you get saved and everything, we are delivered from the penalty of sin. Amen. Our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Amen. You are the righteousness. The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, as far as God's concerns, you are already perfect. Amen. And we understand, you know, but with God, with us, when something's perfect, that's it. It's perfect. That's the end of the job. But with God, God's the only person that could perfect that could perfect something that's perfect. Are you saying God can make something that's perfect even more perfect? Are you hearing me? And that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our life. He does not want us to, Romans 8 says, now therefore there's now condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, amen, who walk according to the Spirit and not to the flesh, amen. So he doesn't want you to be beating yourself up and saying you're this or that. You've got to be able to, the Spirit says, the Word of God says you need to look in the mirror and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am perfect. Are you hearing me? And God, amen, being God, is still doing a work in my life and perfecting me, making me better. Say, I am if you're a woman, I'm a perfect woman, a perfect man, a perfect mother, perfect father, perfect daughter, perfect son. Come on, somebody, a perfect friend. You got to look at yourself and say that you are perfect. No condemnation, no put down, amen. No negating, no marring of your identity, amen, is allowed as a believer, as a child of God. None of it is allowed. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I wish somebody said amen, that they believed it and were happy to hear it. Lord have mercy. We're going to get there in a minute anyway. So the Holy Spirit, I term it as like doing recycle. Do you recycle? You just chuck all your rubbish and Yeah, you separate, you take it out, you know, take out the plastic and put it over here. So that is a type of cleansing. That's kind of like what the Holy Spirit does. He kind of like, we're still kind of in a way being recycled. We're perfect, but there's still some stuff that this could make you even better. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Word of God says that you are the what? Amen. Do you not know that you are the temple, amen, of the Holy Spirit who is in you and which is from God? Amen. Who is from God? You are not your own. You've been bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. Somebody say, I'm a temple. Woo, that's heavy, isn't it? I'm a temple. You know how sometimes we like to sing, God lives in me. He lives in you. No, that's Lion King. Hang on. All right. He, that's a nice song, though. He lives in you. He lives in me. Anyway, praise the Lord. God bless you all. That was the flesh. Amen.
I mean, no, God lives in you. And sometimes we could be so blasé about that. Yeah, yeah. This is where Jesus lives in. I'm his home. This is where he lives. Are you hearing me? This is his home. But Bible says, you know, and but the Bible says it's the temple. Because let me know that there's certain things that you would do in your home and in your house. But when we come out and we come to a temple, even sinners have a varying or a different degree of reverence when they approach the temple. Amen? They don't just, it's different. There's a different respect and devout and even, don't speak. And when, remember when Jesus went into the synagogue or the temple, and we're told that he made a cord of strands and whipped and beat out all the people there who were in there trading and doing all kinds of stuff that shouldn't have been taking place in the temple. And he got really, really mad. But I want to tell you something. He was visiting that temple for years. Are you hearing me? Going to it 1 week and coming out. Going in and coming out. And going in and coming out. And there must, how many people know, for years, there may be some stuff that's been taking place in our lives and our hearts and our minds. And just like Jesus, a day came when he said, you know what? Enough is enough. And he, and the Bible says that zeal for my Father's house, come on somebody, fills me. And there was this fervor, this thing rose up inside and says, you know what? Enough is enough. This is not taking place in this temple. And scripture says, my Father's house, not the type of house that we live in, but the place where God dwells and lives, shall be a house of prayer. A place, my Father's house. And the people got mad, but he sat down and he strung together, plied together this cord. Let me tell you something, that was and then he got up real mad and he started to beat and drive out all the things that should not be in there. How many people know we need to take some time and knit something together, strap something together, plait something together, come up with some plan, some strategy to drive out some of the things that are taking place in this temple? Because we have a zeal now. Amen. This should be a house of prayer. This shouldn't be a place for the devil to play games in our lives. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Quickly moving on. Luke 3:16. Cleansing. The Holy Spirit is a cleanser. John the Baptist says, listen, I baptize you with water, but one comes after me who will baptize you with fire. That fire burns things up. Are you hearing me? Amen. If we're going to be led by the Spirit also, number two, the Holy Spirit, he brings to us, and we need to respond to how he's leading us. He brings to you and I ultimate purpose and reason for being. Many Christians today, before, have you ever been in that place where you said, you know what am I here for? What's my purpose in life? Hallelujah. Amen. What am I here? What am I here? I don't even know. When you get saved, you get purpose. When we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, we didn't know what we was here for. We just done whatever the world told us to do, and live. The world said, go after money, go after fame. Amen. We just listened to the flesh. The flesh told us our purpose. The flesh told us what to value, what ideology or philosophy in life to subscribe to. Amen. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says now, because you've been made alive, if you've been made alive by the Spirit of God, now you have to what? Live by the Spirit of God, or walk, amen, be led by the Spirit of God. So now we need to allow the Spirit of God now to tell us, to tell you and I, what is our ultimate purpose in life. I even know it's a short life compared to eternity. Our ultimate purpose, amen, as revealed in Scripture, first and foremost, is to know God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. To have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And guess what? That's when the more you get to know him, the more you get to know who you are. The more you find out who you are. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And secondary to that is to make him known. Oh, praise the Lord. And people know when you get to know God, you don't want to keep God to yourself. Amen. When you get the best thing in the world, when you get saved and you realize, hey, I've been lied to for so many years and now you got the truth. Amen. And the love of God impacts your life. You want to tell other people. Your ultimate purpose above jobs, above careers, above families, above making money or losing money, above any of that, amen, is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Every command that comes from the Spirit is encapsulated, amen, within that one command. To love God, get to know God, amen, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you want a purpose, if you ever feel lost and all that seed that you don't know what to do with your short life, that is, your life does not even last half a second compared to how long you will exist in eternity. Not even a microsecond. You come on, somebody, you could serve God for a second, can't you? Come on, put your hands up if you could give God a second of your existence. Amen. Oh, Lord, we're in trouble here today. I said, put your hands up if you could give God a second of your existence. Amen. That's right. Amen. Watch this. The Holy Spirit also gives you and I, if we're led by the Spirit, He will give you and I, if we follow Him, He gives you the power to be a witness. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, I'm a witness. Back in the day, we would say, snitches get stitches. Praise the Lord, anyway. No, you've got to be a witness to the truth, though. Got to tell the truth. When how many know you need the whole, we need the Holy Spirit. The empowering of the Holy Spirit. You can't live an effective, influencing Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, right on your doorstep, in Judea, next door, in Samaria, further afield, and even to the ends of the earth. You'll be able to witness in places, amen, that you thought were so far away. Because of the Holy Ghost. The power of God will move in your life. Reach places that you never thought it would reach. Reach people that you never thought you would reach. Come on, someone. Touch areas of your lives. Cause things to happen in your life that you never thought you'd get to. Some people think, oh, I could just get saved over here in Jerusalem. Just that little bit of work God can do in my life. No, God can do more. He can do Judea. He can do Samaria. He can do to the uttermost places of the earth. Lastly, the Holy Spirit, when we're led by Him, He's our teacher, He's our mentor, He's our parent, He's our guide, He's our instructor. Are you hearing me? John 16, verse 18 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. How many know God will reveal things to you? Literally, God will reveal things to you literally that are out of this world, that are to do with this world. You'll know things about yourself and other people or what's going on over there before they even know it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. You'll sense things. You'll discern things. You will feel things. As you open yourself and begin to test things, prove things. I even know, you know, sometimes God, you feel an unction, you feel something, man, you know, and you just think it's you thinking it, or you know, you feel to go here, you feel to go there. But as you begin to live by the Spirit, little by little, man, you listen, you'll be able to start. Somebody said, live by the Spirit. You know things that God tells you. 1 Corinthians, on that same point, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God has in store for them. But these things are revealed by His Spirit. Somebody said, live by the Spirit. See, and that's the thing. See, many, many people, we don't live by the Spirit. We have we may have an event. Somebody said live. And see, some people only live by the Spirit on a Sunday. That's the only time when they're open to spiritual Holy Ghost activity or leadership or guidance. It's the only time, you know, and as they come in the door, it's like, poof, I'm a saint. And as they go out the door, poof, I ain't. We go from ain't to saints, and then from saints to ain't. Are you hearing me? But the Bible says, live. You don't live in here. You pass through here. Live. 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 Come on, Sean, we're finished. Live. 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 Where do you live? You live in your relationships. You live on the job. You live in that home. You live in your career. You live on the street. You live on the bus. You live. Where do you live? Wherever you go, you should go under the guidance, the instruction, and be led and influenced by the Holy Spirit. Led. Live. It's funny how I was talking about how some people, man, we can really prepare ourselves for a move of God when we come to church. But people generally don't prepare themselves for a move of God when they're going to work. That we prepare ourselves to hear from God at our Sunday event. Something deep. Rhema word. We even pray for Rhema word. What about taking a Rhema word to your school, to your college? What about waking up and saying, listen, this is how I live. This is the life I live. I live by faith. I walk under the instruction of the Holy Ghost. And listen, I'm telling you, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. No eye has seen. No ear heard. Nor entered the heart of man what God has in store. But the Spirit of God reveals things. You're going to work. You're going to your school. You're going people you've got relationships with. And you begin to tell people what's up with them sometimes, even before they even knew that something was up with them. You begin to give people words of knowledge and encouragement that carry an anointing on it. Somebody else can speak to them the same thing you spoke to them, but that word falls on the ground. But because of the anointing on your life and you spending time in God's presence, what you speak goes forth and accomplishes the very thing, ooh, for which it is sent. You can speak, man, and leave your voice will carry an echo and a resonant. And the word of God that you speak will arrest people and bring them to a place. So go ahead and stand with me. I said that was the last one. This is the last one. The Holy Spirit brings, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, He brings conviction. Somebody said conviction. Now, this word's got kind of a bad name now, because now we call criminals, amen, convicts. Ain't that right, Bobby? Amen. And to tell the truth, conviction is actually a good word. In fact, I want to let you know, I'm a convict. I've been convicted. Amen. Not of the old man got convicted of a crime. But I want to let you know, I've been convicted of the truth. Amen. Conviction is not feeling bad. People say, I feel bad, I feel convicted. No, that's not conviction. Listen, anyone can feel bad, saint or ain't. Amen. Oh, I feel fear, I feel scared, I feel trepidation. That's not conviction either. True biblical conviction. The word comes, the Greek word called elencho. And it gives the picture of a prosecutor, the Holy Ghost, coming into the courtroom of your life, bringing evidence and proof and arguments and reasoning and rationale, so much to the point now that he convinces you beyond any reasonable doubt that what he has said is so. That's how you got saved. He went to the courtroom of your life and he was going back and forth with his legal brief. Come on, bringing evidence and speaking to you. And you were the jury and you had to bring in a verdict on yourself. And some would bring a verdict of guilty. Yeah, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. And you're the righteousness of God. And convict them and become convict and persuaded that Jesus Christ is Savior. And you can't. And if anybody ever brings back a verdict other than that, it's a lie. Because when God gives evidence to your life of something, there's no room for reasonable doubt. People only dismiss God for unreasonable reasons. Does that make sense? If anyone says nah, nah, because they don't want to. And God will speak to your life. He will show you things, what's happening, where to go, and He'll give you evidence. And as you sense and feel them, amen, He wants to persuade you of things, your destiny, your future, but you've got to spend time in His presence. Are you hearing me? Time in His word. Be open to Him leading you and guiding you and instructing you. You got saved because God was working on you to the point you became convinced and persuaded. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Led by the Spirit. Come on, just lift our hands. We're going to pray. I want you to write this as just to start praying and say, and start making some, start speaking. You know, talk yourself out of trouble and into the blessings of God. Say, I will read my word. I'm going to be more sensitive to God. I'm going to live by the Spirit. I'm not just going to be a Sunday thing. I'm not going to be an event thing. I'm going to live by the Spirit. Say, Father, help me to be more sensitive to You, to discern Your unction, Your touch upon my life. Help me to discern when it's You that's speaking to me. It's You that's pushing me. It's You that's influencing me. It's You that's moving in my life. Help me to tell the difference between what I'm hearing, Lord. Help me with this war that's going on in my life between the flesh, my old man that's dead, and me, the new man. Help me, Lord. Come on, right where you're at. Begin to pray. Come on, lift. Come on, be spiritual now. Begin to cry out to God. Because you know, if it was a game or a movie, the flesh would say, yeah, make noise. But because it's something spiritual now, it's a discipline, a spiritual discipline. You're being challenged right now to participate in. The flesh is saying, don't put your hands up. The flesh is saying, don't make that altar call. The flesh is saying, don't pray, don't do nothing. Just sleep on this one. The flesh is saying, I don't feel it. But how many people know when it comes to doing the things of God, you ain't got to feel it. You just got to do it. Come on, lift your hands in this place and begin to praise God in this place. Begin to pray. Begin to decree. Come on, begin to say, I'm a spiritual man. I'm a spiritual woman. I walk by the Spirit. I've been made alive by the Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this temple. Clean up my life. Clean up my heart. Come on, lift your hands in this place as a sign of surrender and begin to pray. Begin to lift that voice. Hallelujah. That's it, pressing. You pressing right there. You put your flesh in subjection. The Apostle Paul said, I beat my flesh. I put it in subjection. I master myself. Don't let the flesh trip you up. Watch this. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to. This is the challenge for our week and our life. I want to encourage you to check with God, check with the Spirit. Listen. You will not have to go hunting for God, for the voice of the Holy Spirit, for the leadership of God, of God's Spirit and voice to your life. The Bible says that He is an ever-present help. You will not have to queue up. You don't have to join a queue for God, you know, or wait in line. The Bible says He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And when it says trouble, let me tell you, I don't mean that kind of trouble when something's happening. Listen, we live in trouble. I said we live in trouble. Trouble is constant. This world is trouble. But Jesus said,
I've overcome. John 16:33. Have peace in me. In this world you have trouble. Don't worry, I've overcome this world.
Check with God. Start to practice more walking by in the Spirit. Even listen.
Yes, they're right. Yes, they are. I went shopping. Hallelujah.
So I thought I had a little prayer and all that. Because some people know. Come on, sisters. You should pray. You should, because that's part of living, isn't it? Shop by in the Spirit, I call it.
You know, you go out there, man. If you ain't prayed up and allowed to, I want God to move you. You go out there, man. You kill that credit card that ain't yours.
Spend money that you ain't even earned yet. Come on, guys. Somebody say, ouch.
They do that to me too.
Amen. But us guys do it too. I'm one of them people that go out there. Oh, I'm like, my mum would say, my eyes are bigger than my belly. And I want that. So this time I prayed.
Man. I said, Lord,
I was
in this world too. So I'm like, I'm more sensitive now. I said, oh God, yeah, Lord, just help me.
So I'm walking down the aisle. I'm walking on water now. I'm walking in miracles now. Because when you walk in the Spirit, you're walking. I'm seeing stuff, picking it up. It's like, oh, that's a good price. But somehow, man, I felt this feeling. Then I hear God's voice. Sometimes you don't hear God's voice sometimes. You feel God. And I was able to put it back and put that back and then put that back and find myself some little bargains, you know? Oh. Yeah. And then to top it all off now, I'm thinking like, you know what is that? That's just a little practice and shopping. But you could do this with people's souls, people's lives. When you pray for people, man, you tell people about God, say, Lord, give me something to tell them. But as you practice walking in the Spirit and listening to God, you begin to sense Him more and hear Him more. Anyway, it came time to pay. So I've got these. No, they're just big boxes, that's all. Five things. Right? So there was a checkout to the left, and there was one straight ahead of me. So that one's nearer to me. So I started to go down there. And I felt. I can't say I heard God, but I know it was God. I felt something say, don't go down there. And what I felt was, if I go down there, I'm not going to get served. So I said, you know what? Because I prayed up now, and I'm being sensitive. I'm heightened. Yeah? I'm practicing now, okay? So I walked all around this little thing. Boom, boom, boom. Walked around this aisle. And I went down to the checkout that was further down because I'm walking by the Spirit, as far as I'm concerned. So I queued up there. People in front of me, it's gonna take long, but anyway, they got served. I've gone up there, I'm getting served, and then the woman started going, can somebody help me, please? Can somebody help me, please? And I look behind me, there's bare people behind me, yeah, and I'm getting served now. Hallelujah, bless God. And then the lady who served me goes, can you please just go to the checkout that's over there around the corner? And guess what they said? We can't, they're not serving anybody over there, it's closed. Oh, come on, somebody. And I said, yeah, that's God. That's God. That's God. Just a little thing like that will help you with your shopping. Help trim a few pounds off too. Come on, somebody. I mean money. Amen. Just like that. So God, more than anything, wants you to have a closer, more proximate walk with Him. Will you give God an opportunity in your life? You're no longer of the realm of the flesh. You can't live like that. That's not your life anymore. You got to live by the Spirit. When you want to box the youth or shout at him or her, Lord, should I open my mouth? Should I say something? Should I keep quiet? Should I just leave it? Should I just let it go? Should I just pray? Come on, somebody. Come on. Live by the Spirit. You got to live. Every area of your life, give God some authority. Walk under His instruction. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Come on. Say, thank you, Lord, for your word to my life. May I put it into practice. May it resonate in me. May it echo. May it reverberate. May it overtake me and accomplish the thing it was sent to do in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and say, praise the Lord. And everyone, welcome to Pastor Carol. She's going to come and take about our toys, tithes. So, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Robert.